This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Film Effect with Tiff. I am back with another episode, and I have my first ever podcast friend, Tyrese, with me. Say hello, hello. Tyrese.
Hello, everybody. Again. Hello again.
Hi, Tyrese.
Hi.
We are venturing through the world of podcasting, literally. He's moved two locations. I've moved to one location in my bedroom because that's the only safe place in this house right now. But this is the quarantine. And this is what we're doing. We're all like doing our best to try to figure out ways to podcast and communicate with other people.
I am literally sitting in a closet right now.
Oh my God. You need to take a photo of that.
I will.
I think that's really important.
I'm taking a selfie right now.
Oh my God. I love it. I know I was going to go live, but I feel like it might be a little too much. Well, anyway, guys, so I got you back, Tyrese. I'm really excited. And you brought up a film that I'd never heard of. And it was actually really interesting because, like I said, a lot of times people pick older movies. Movies, and we've discussed movies, you know, like early on. I keep bringing up the movie Midsommar because I know we talked about Hereditary.
Right.
Which was insane. And then that movie, as a follow-up to that one, was just, you know, if you really want to screw your head for a day, just do that double feature. And you're really going to not be able to sleep, I don't think, after you watch both of those movies back to back. But we may return to that. But you suggested this film. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your movie choice?
So I want to say that I want to give, like, a story about me being super artsy and super deep into the origin of this film and how it was set, and it's this big metaphor for Colombia, but it's not. I didn't know anything about it before I watched it. I was browsing Hulu, and I thought it had a really cool thumbnail image, and I played the trailer, and I said, these are some really cool colors in the trailer. Just the way it was filmed, it looked really cool to me.
Right.
So that was enough to hook me, and I started to watch it, and I didn't even know that it was filmed in it's all in subtitles.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about it. So I went into it completely blind, not having any idea what to expect, just being drawn in by the images, and I was not disappointed.
No, it's a beautifully shot film. It actually, I think the imagery is some of the biggest storytelling that happens in the movie. And it's weird because I've had a lot of feelings after I watched this movie while I was watching it too. And I couldn't even express it like verbally when I was thinking about it. You know, like I was kind of talking about it a little bit with my wife. I was like, I don't even know how to explain this movie. But I had a lot of feelings around it. So there was a lot that happened. I'll just do what I usually do for my listeners, since you guys may not know anything that we're talking about. So let me just ask you, because I'm always like murdering the names of movies, especially foreign films. And is it Monos or is it Manos? Like, how would you do? You may not know.
I think it's Manos.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's Manos. For anyone else who speaks the language, if we're wrong, I apologize.
Hey, please send some hate mail. I'm happy to take whatever input you have. I'll take it. All right. Well, you know, you might have a better, I know you've got some stuff pulled up too about this film. So the movie was made just this last year, 2019 is when it came out. I don't know if it was made previously, years taking how long it took to make it, but it was released in 2019. It is rated R for all of you people that, you know, want to know the rating. They have one really short sentence on IMDb. On a remote mountaintop, eight kids with guns watch over a hostage and a conscripted milk cow. That seems really brief. there's a longer storyline. Here we go. Teenage commandos perform military training exercises by day and indulge in youthful hedonism by night and an unconventional family bond together under a shadowy force known only as the Organization. After an ambush drives the squadron into the jungle, both the mission and the intricate bonds between the group begin to disintegrate. That's pretty right on.
It really is. But also, that doesn't even give you a feel for the entire movie. It's one of those movies that it's hard to describe. You just kind of have to watch it.
Okay.
It's difficult to I wanted to describe it to you before you saw it, but I had no idea what to say. Like, that doesn't even communicate the bulk of what's so heavy about the movie. Like, what gave you these feelings that you couldn't even describe while you were watching it?
No, it's so true. And I think it's good that you didn't say anything. I don't think there's a way to prep people for this kind of movie.
No.
And even in foreign films in general, I find that you kind of, it's like, that's what I think I like about watching foreign films sometimes, is it's not something that's going to, you know, you can't really explain it to people. I don't think it needs to be explained. It's just like it's an experience. And this movie specifically is something that you just have to see it. I don't think I could even say.
It's funny you say that, because I usually don't enjoy, well, we've had this discussion before. I usually don't enjoy films where the writer, director, or the filmmakers leave it up to the viewer to kind of fill in the blanks, and kind of, they'll leave certain aspects out of it and kind of leave it up to you to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually don't like that, because it's just personal choice for me.
Right.
Because in my mind, if I'm going to see a movie, then I want the entire thing served to me. You know, I want this creation, that, you know, the interpretation is, that's the artist's job. And I just want to enjoy it. And I'm not saying that's the right way to feel. That's just me personally. But this is one movie where there was a lot of things left vague and unexplained, and I thought it was better for it. So this was a new experience for me.
That's great.
Where there were so many unanswered questions, and that drew me in even more.
That's pretty cool then. See, like, it shows you that you don't know what you like sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's why
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's why. It's just a reminder to me to be open-minded. And
absolutely.
Even if I go into something thinking, oh, I won't like this, then just try it. Maybe you will.
So, that's what I always say. Like, be open to art, because movies are art, and you don't know what you're going to experience. But yeah, I thought this movie was amazing the way it did that. I love that they didn't explain much. And there was almost like, even though it's a foreign language, so that would be a little bit of a troublesome thing for me anyway, to kind of get the way that they're speaking. Cause sometimes in subtitles, you're not getting it in the way that if you spoke the language and it was your native language, you know, you receive it in a different way.
Right.
But there, it was so on purpose, you know, the way that the way that they spoke, those like shots were, I loved right away the shots where the people, each one of those young people, they're just right at the camera, you know what I mean? Like you don't even see this guy sometimes, this little guy who's in charge of them, and he's just like barking stuff at them. And then they're just kind of responding, and it's just straight on, straight on, straight on the camera shots, which I thought was so cool. And just like the very simple responses. So there's no explanation. You're just taken right into it. And I feel like it was really effective, because you start to feel the way they feel, which is the same feelings they're experiencing, you're kind of experiencing, which is this kind of chaos. And it's weird. It really felt like, you know, for me, and God, I'm really getting, now my brain's starting to work on this story.
I like it. Let it
I'm
work.
Working. I'm my brain is working. I'm working it out with you guys. There's a lot of themes of control. There's a lot of themes of like, how do we behave when we know we're not being watched? And then like, kind of like, you know, breaking the rules, and then dealing with the fact that we're caught breaking the rules. And that line of confusion, he simmered us through that the whole movie. So there was this feeling the whole time. And I love that you don't even know what's going on right away about the fact that they have this hostage, and suddenly you see her. It's so weird the way they show it. It's like the way that he did that was so perfect to me, because it shows you how it must really feel for this person, because there is so much chaos involved. And I think, I don't know anything about what it's like, you know, to be captured by people in a country like that. But it was a really interesting story. And I guess, like you said, it must be taken from some truth, because, you know, go ahead.
It was kind of, it was interesting, because like, that's kind of what I meant about how, when I said that there was a lot that wasn't explained.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are in this camp, and they're they're training for, they're going through this military training and they have this hostage, but the film never tells you exactly what they're fighting for. And it never tells you what's going on around them. So, you know, you have these kids set in this mountaintop, but you don't know why they're there. And that, to me, I appreciated that because you were kind of living through that with the kids. They don't know what's going on around them either. This guy just shows up, he trains them, and he leaves. And they report back every now and then, but there's never any indication to the viewer about why they're there. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, is there a point to all this? What's the end game here? Is there an end game? Why are these kids doing this?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I noticed about it, but the other thing that I found really interesting, and this is kind of way out in left field, but I thought it was cool anyway, is it's kind of a show of, I remember, I promise I'll make this connect in a second, but I remember being a teenager and hearing other teenagers have this idea of, we don't need rules, like anarchy, and the system is bad, and I'm anti everything. I was never one of those kids, but I remember that being a thought process, and just remove all the rules and let people do whatever they want. And this movie was kind of an example of what happens when you have this group of kids who have no rules, they have no adult supervision. But anytime you have a group that's put off to themselves and they make their own group, they make their own rules. So it's impossible to exist outside of a set of rules. That's how cultures and societies work. And if rules don't exist, then they'll just make their own. And that's kind of what they did. There was a hierarchy, there was a leader, then there was another leader, and it's just, you can't escape that. And I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, there really were those themes of, you know, chaos, control, and following rules. You know, for me, I'm a mother of children who are teenagers. And, you know, one thing it really, it just from my perspective, it's exactly how I feel about at least kids that are in that range of 15 to 18, is that they're really capable. They're kind of able to be adults in a lot of ways, but there's always that, it's easy to forget that they're still really children mentally.
Yeah.
And I think that was what I was noticing, was that obviously these kids, however they got there, are very obedient in a way that they've been trained to be. So they're really capable. I mean, it's obvious they can hunt and kill and do some crazy things if they really get down to it, because they've really been taught to do that, maybe out of fear or out of circumstance or whatever it was. But you cannot kill that thing that is inside young people of that time. They want to play, and it's kind of an unsafe thing. And so that's what you watch happen, which is, it's like Lord of the Flies, you know, once you leave them to their own devices, they don't follow the rules anymore. And they're also trying to figure out who they are in the middle of that, you know, which is really interesting, because, you know, if it's a comment on war, or it's a comment on, you know, that kind of time, or at least what's happening, maybe what's happening there, or some of the things that have been going on with the country. It's funny, because you sometimes think that you put someone in a bad enough circumstances and they're going to lose their will to explore or figure out who they are, or still be the essence of children. But really, maybe that was the thing, was they really couldn't help themselves. Even in moments where they had to maybe be a little more responsible, they'd rather get in their underpants and jump off a cliff and swim in the water than pay attention to this hostage that they're really responsible for. And so it's almost like they couldn't help themselves, you know. It's just so funny. And I always think that with my kids. I'm like, they look like they can do a lot, but trust me, give them a minute and they're going to just go off and be little kids again, because they don't know how to be adults yet, really.
And I think you just touched on that thing, that feeling that you had that you couldn't identify. Just this uncomfortable, tense, just this mix of confusing emotions. I think you touched on that. And I think where that came from was that you have these characters doing these intense adult things. They're killing things. They're killing people. They're soldiers, basically. But they're also kids. And the movie does a good job of showing them committing these brutal acts, but then also being kids in the very next scene and doing kid things like playing and making mistakes. And they're trying to lead and be adults, but they're not. And you're constantly reminded of that they're just kids. And it's this, what's the word I'm looking for? It's this, this disconnect, and you can't quite, it just makes you really uncomfortable when you see kids doing these things. And I think that really struck a nerve with you, being a mom and having kids and seeing these kids put into these awful situations, and they really never had a choice. It's how they've been raised and trained, and they don't have a say in the matter. Like, they're not allowed to be kids.
No.
And so, like, someone else took that away from them, and that's the part that's really, really rough.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's really, I mean, I now that I'm talking about it with you, it's such a amazing film, and it you know, it deserves whatever credit it's gotten for what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back. I'm going to like kind of build this up a little bit too, because we're kind of just jumping all over the place. So let me take us back just for the listeners. All right. But listen, you're not going to enjoy this if you haven't seen the movie. So go see it and then come back and hit play on this thing if you guys really want to.
Yeah, please, because there's going to be all kinds of spoilers. So
yeah, there's a lot. So the director is Alejandro Landes. He also wrote this movie with another person, Alexis Dos Santos. Look at me trying to have an accent. and there's some great movie people in this. And one person I recognized right away, because right off the bat, I didn't recognize any of these actors, obviously, because they're not American actors. The names of these characters is just awesome. It's also like they're not even allowed to have their own names. You can see like their names have been taken from them because no one is named Rambo. Mm-hmm. No one is named Wolf, Lady, Swede, Smurf, Dog. So that's very symbolic too, is that right off the bat, you're seeing these characters, these kids, and they all have been renamed into these simplified nicknames of probably like however they showed up. Right. So, and the funny thing is, can I just mention this? That one of the first credits is on the IMDb is Sofia Buenaventura, and she's Rambo, and I knew she was a girl the whole time, but they kept calling her a boy. Did you pick up on that at all?
I actually read about that.
Okay.
So I did, when I watched this a few weeks ago, I did some reading on it just because I was so blown away by it that I needed to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And I read about that, and I read about a few other things. I can tell you about it now, or you can...
No, yeah, tell me. It's okay. We'll take a pause. Go ahead.
I read that they purposely made that character kind of, I would say, ambiguous. They purposely gave that character an ambiguous gender, and I'm not entirely sure of the reason for that. I don't remember why I read that, but that was done on purpose.
Wow. Okay.
So at any given point when you're watching this character, you're like, is that a boy or a girl? Is that a boy or a girl? And in the end, it doesn't matter, but there was a reason why he did that, and I can't remember why that was, but that was done on purpose.
That's really interesting. Because I responded to it then exactly the way he wanted somebody to, which is that I kept thinking about it, mm-hmm. but then I would discard the thought. I would do literally that, where I'd be like, wait, I think that's a girl. And then I'd be like, oh, maybe it's a boy. And then I'm like, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, that's what I would do in my head. I'd be like,
it's
okay.
It's funny because it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But it's still funny because you're like, wait, why am I thinking of this? It doesn't, but I got to know, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of interesting because they're all like a little bit female, a little bit male. You know, they're male. Mm-hmm. There's some that are really male in their masculinity. Mm-hmm. But it's... maybe that's the comment, is that even though they're female and male, they're all the same in so many ways. Okay, so I'm going to go back. So we meet these kids. They're muck, you know, running. They're basically like running around playful, playing games, kind of violent games. They're like hitting each other. They're not like, you know, they're like a bunch of boys, like classic boy play, which is like, you know, wrestling and hitting and being wild. But there's girls in there too. And I'm trying to remember, you might have, since you've probably watched it more than I did, if you watched it on a second watch, I only watched it once. I'm trying to think if we see her first, the doctora, who is played by Julianne Nicholson, who is awesome, like beyond. And I've seen her in movies and shows. And so I right away knew who she was, like not her name, but I was like, that is an American actress. And I'm like, how did she end up in this movie? but she's really great in it. And
she shows up when after they show all the kids, if I recall correctly, mm-hmm. they show all the kids training, and then they show all the kids getting yelled at by their instructor, and then they show the doctor, and she's holding up a newspaper. So they're doing a hostage video.
Right.
So she's holding
okay.
up a newspaper so that they can see that she's still alive, and she's speaking to the camera, and she's terrified, and you have no idea what's going on. You just see her, this terrified woman who is dirty and disheveled and is clearly doesn't belong there because she's white. Right. And
yeah,
all the other
I'm gonna like mess with you a little bit, but I feel like the first time I see her is they like are doing her hair on the cliff or something.
Yes, no, you're right. You're right. That is the first time you see her.
And they braid her hair, and then she's in the outfit, and
yeah,
she's kind of cleaned
about
up.
That.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That
you
just brought up
bring
something
it back.
Else.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You just brought up something else that disturbed me about this movie. Right. She's sitting there, and they're braiding her hair, and she looks really uncomfortable. But the girls who are doing her hair look really friendly. And you're asking yourself, what is the relationship between this woman and these girls? Because this woman doesn't look like she belongs here, and she doesn't look like she wants to be here. But these girls are being very kind and gentle and caring.
Yeah.
What is the dynamic here? And then you show her speaking into the camera.
Yeah, it's really effective. Because I think, like I said, what this guy seems to do with this storytelling is, instead of showing you something where you feel like you're on the outside of it, like you get all the answers, but the people in the movie don't, mm-hmm. we're like lost. And then they're just like doing what they're doing. And so there's no explanation. It's just like, it's so cool because it's just like moments, mm-hmm. you know, like he's just showing you like if somebody was a hostage and if they were living in this circumstance, this might be one of the moments that they would experience, which is really weird because it doesn't make any sense. But like, if you were in that situation, that could be one of the things that happens. Well, because they're all left to their own devices out there. Who knows how long that woman's been there? Obviously, this organization guy, the person that, you know, the guy in charge of them, only mm-hmm. checks in when necessary. And so there is this like weird time spent where the connection between her and these young people is, the lines are really fuzzy, you know, because they're bored too.
Yep.
And I think that must be what really happens. Like, I haven't listened to a lot of stories. Like, I think I listened to, actually, there was a really great podcast. Have you ever listened to Serial?
No, I haven't. I've heard of it.
You should. It's pretty cool. The first one was really, you know, everybody went crazy over that story. And the second one was about a guy who ended up being a hostage during the Iraq War. You know, he had a really insane story. It's a really crazy story because the guy ended up almost going to jail because he kind of like left his post and then ended up being a hostage. It's a really whack story, but the whole mm-hmm. thing is there's a lot of detail about what it was like for him. He was a hostage for years, and
wow.
the way that he was treated and lived and this kind of and it made me think of that instantly when I saw that scene after I realized she was a hostage, because you don't hear a lot about what it's like, I guess, because unless you read a book or something, but
mm-hmm.
That isn't uncommon, that these people that are holding you kind of, it's almost like they become your family, but then they're also there to torture and hurt you. So it's this really confusing thing that happens.
It's extra confusing also because the kids aren't the ones, clearly aren't the ones in charge.
Right.
They're holding her hostage because someone else told them to. And the people who told them to aren't around. So they're doing this thing that they may not necessarily want to do, but they feel like they have to. So they may not have these strong feelings of, I hate her, I have to hurt her. They may genuinely care for her. It's just, this is my job. This is what I have to do. I'll take care of you while you're here. And when you're allowed to leave, we'll let you go.
Right.
But this is my job. And again, that makes it more disturbing because you're putting these kids in the situations they don't necessarily want to be in, but they don't know any other way.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Not an uplifting movie, that's for sure.
No, but it has these really interesting moments. So we find out that this woman is being held hostage. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. They never explain why. It never matters. Nothing matters. None of the answers need to be, you know, told to us. It's just you're experiencing this, like, you know, mm-hmm. this journey. And I think, yeah, I'm trying to remember, you know, it's almost like a dream watching this movie. I can't even give you a linear story in my mind after rewatching it. Like, there's imagery, there's, you know, then there's the relationship between the two that want to be together. They want to, you know, Lady and Wolf, correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah. And so they ask to be partners, and then there's this whole ritual around that the others create around them, like being together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the sexual aspects of this movie are kind of bizarre too. The sexuality that happens.
Yep.
There's such an innocence, but then there's also like this, I don't know, maybe I'll let you take it from here. I'll just bring up that theme, like in terms of sex and sexuality between these kids, what was your take on that? How did you receive that?
It was another example of these kids being put in a situation where they are being, it's kind of like a nature versus nurture debate, right? Where it's just like, they're put in a situation where they're being trained to be one thing, but they can't stop being who they, it's a battle between who they're trained to be and who they actually are. So they're trained to be these killers, they're trained to be these soldiers, and focus only on the goal, only on the goal. But they're still teenagers. They're still exploring their sexuality. They still have these, you know, desires. They're still kids, right? Exploring that kids do. And in spite of them being in this really tough situation, that's still a part of who they are, and they still find a way to do that.
Yeah.
So there's still going to be tension there between, like with relationships and with sex and things like that, because even though this environment kind of in a way tries to remove that, like they're living in a mountaintop with five people. Nothing is attractive about that, you know, but they still have this attraction because it's who they are. They're human.
Yeah. They can't deny it. Yeah.
And they still find a way to explore that, even though it causes them a lot of problems. But it's not a choice they're making. It's who they are as human beings. And I thought that was really, it also supported my kind of discomfort with the way the movie was. And I was supposed to feel the discomfort. Like, this isn't a criticism of the movie, but it went to that discomfort that you feel watching these tragic characters. And you know, initially you think that the doctor is the most tragic character, and her story is pretty tragic, but also these kids who are doing these things to her are probably slightly more tragic because they're kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was my take on that, is just that they've been trained to be one thing, but they're still going to show signs of who they actually are as people underneath.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So
it's true.
That was my take on that.
No, it's cool. And I do think it shows me, you know, they're desperate for being, to have anything that is for them.
Yeah.
I think that's very typical of kids when they first experience love and romance, is it might be an idea for a while in their head, but the second it becomes real, it rules everything else in their lives. And I think, at least for me and for, I think a lot of us when we're young, once we kind of figure out what that is, mm-hmm. I don't think we can pay attention to anything else. You know, it's kind of like, it's such a new thing that you get wrapped up in it. And I find that what happens in that moment of them, you know, and first of all, I'm going to make some funny comments now, because we're very deep and serious on this one, but where are they getting alcohol? Like, they're drinking, you know, I'm thinking like, it's like they, you know, and I know in movies, they don't ever explain this stuff, but like, there is the sense that they're all getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like kind of just letting loose for the night after the two of them hook up, and they make this bed for them and all this. They make it, you know, they're really taking it to the extreme with this whole relationship, and then everyone's celebrating. And then, of course, through the course of that, you know, bad things happen.
Of course.
You know, it's like a kid that throws a house party and it's like, oh, shit, my mom came home early. You know, it's like, all right, well, now you got to clean up the mess.
Well, I will say, and then I'll let you continue.
No, go.
That's a good way to look at it, because I'll take it a step further and say it's like a kid throwing a house party.
Mm-hmm.
But also I'll take it a step further and say it's like a kid throwing a house party, but the parents bought them the alcohol, gave them the alcohol, and then left for 2 months. What do you expect? How much do you really care about your kids? You give them guns and alcohol and then leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're careless because they, you know, he's shooting off that gun and not thinking about it. And it is funny the way he sets up the rules for these, you know, it's almost like it reminds me of like a, you know, you're a book guy now. And it reminds me of like old fables and old stories, almost like, you know, like when you learn lessons about not do like Pinocchio, like lying. Mm-hmm. So like, it's this very simple setup of like, okay, here you guys are, here is a cow. The cow is to be milked. The cow is very precious. It's all like, it's explained in a very simplistic way, right? This whole thing with the cow. And it's like, you know, we have to return the cow the way it came to us or we will not have a cow again.
Yeah, the cow's not going back home.
Yeah. And so, but even the setup of that, you know, something bad is going to happen with that cow. I'm like, that cow's toast. The second the guy said that, I was like, they're not going to be okay with this cow.
He's like, the cow can't die. The cow's going to die.
I'm like, spoiler that cow's not going to. Yeah. I'm like, you just left a cow with a bunch of kids with guns. I'm like, this isn't going to work out. But you don't know because you don't know how capable they are yet, or you don't know how able they are to like follow rules. But you assume that they're pretty serious, you know, the way they respond to it. So that's kind of funny to me. And then the way that pivotal point of that cow, to me, that's when the story starts to get really interesting. Obviously it's the first thing that really kind of moves the story along because now we're concerned with what's going to happen to them. And
now everything's going bad.
Yeah. And things are at stake. Now there's things that need to like be dealt with, which is the guy that stupidly was just blown, you know, shooting his gun off for fun and accidentally shot the cow. And then Wolf, who's supposed to be responsible for it. And it's all this like accountability stuff starts to come up, which is like, and watching them interact with each other, it becomes a little more Lord of the Flies to me where now they're kind of working against each other or for each other. And how are they going to show up when it's not all fun and games? And now I'm jumping around because like I said, my brain's just working through this as I'm talking, but like, the most interesting aspect that we return to in this, and it's not just when the cow dies and they have to face the consequences of that, is how he does this thing with them. And it happens really early on with that scene with Wolf and Lady saying they want to be together and the guy giving them permission is that they are kind of free and wild and they'll do crazy things. But when it comes to these moments, and I don't know if he's trained them well enough to do this, but when it comes to like speak, he tells them to speak and say whatever you want to say kind of thing. They all fucking rat on each other and they do it blatantly, which I found really interesting. And I kept thinking like, what is this about? You know? So here they are and sometimes they're covering it up, but like really they kind of get pretty honest. And again, it happens at the very end, like towards the end of the movie when, you know, what's his name? Smurf. He just rats everybody out. And, and they all do it. They all start telling on each other, which I thought was kind of weird, which kind of went against, for me, the parental thing, like with everyday, like, you know, I'm talking about the house party. Like for me in movies or in life, you know, you question five kids in a house, they're all going to lie. They're not going to do that, but they do. And they do it really, really blatantly. And I thought that was, I didn't know what that was about, but I thought it was really interesting is all I can say.
All the telling, you mean?
Yeah, when they fess up in those moments.
I thought,
what did you think that was about?
I thought they set the stage for that really well because I knew Smurf was going to rat everyone out at some point because he was the one who said that they should be honest about what happened to the cow. And they should be honest and tell what happened. And everyone was like, yeah, we're not doing that. And he was really against it. And from that point, he kind of broke from the group and he kind of questioned his loyalties. He's like, we're doing the wrong thing, but he went along with it. But I knew that at some point he was going to break first. And as far as the other kids who were telling on each other, I felt like that was there was a buildup of tension among all these kids. Like there was conflict between so many of them.
Yeah.
And this was their moment to hurt each other. So they were telling because the people they told on were people they wanted to hurt. And it kind of showed you, like, it put out in plain sight the divisions that were between these kids and why they couldn't agree. Because even though they kind of went along, some of them went along and did certain things, there was this simmering dislike or tension between some of them. And I think that was the point where it all kind of boiled over when this guy pulled it out of him, and then you kind of saw it all out there in the open.
Yeah.
Which made the next scenes even more interesting after that.
My God. Yeah, once this movie starts to take off, it has some really surprising moments. And I think, let me ask you, we don't have to go through it, you know, scene by scene, but what were the most like impacting scenes in the film that just, you were just like, holy shit?
Oh, there was...
What were your holy shit moments?
I have one in particular. Like, okay. There's a lot of scenes that stuck out to me, but the one in particular was when the doctor drowned the girl.
Oh my God, that was it. You just nailed it for me. That was the same for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was so well done. I could not believe it. Yeah.
And it showed this transition from, and I can't remember what the doctor's occupation was. They say it towards the end, at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, they say she's an engineer.
Okay. So you see this transition, this woman transitions from this helpless, scared hostage to someone who not only is willing to kill or able to kill, but she does it in the slowest, most torturous way possible. And the fact that they draw out this drowning scene for so long.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
And at the core, it's, you have this woman slowly murdering a child. And you can look at it and say, well, she's trying to escape. They have her in chains. She's doing what she has to do. She's being forced into it. And all those things are true. But at the end of the day, it's a woman drowning a child. And this movie is so messed up because they put this woman in this position. They put this character in this position to have to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah. It really, like, the circumstances of the movie change this woman so much that you kind of see, like, thinking down the road, you have to consider the trauma that she's going to have from this, the PTSD.
Oh my God,
right?
It's crazy.
And that was just one instance of just, it was just complete turn for her character. Like, that to me was the complete turning point for her character of, you know, like, mind you, she had taken initiative before and like tried to escape and do different things, but that was the point where, and also the same character that she drowned, if I recall correctly, was the same one that she bonded with.
Yeah, there was that scene. Yes. There was the scene, and all I can remember, and it just really was one of the scenes, that, another one that really impacted me, that's not a shocking scene, but just a really bizarre. There's a couple bizarre scenes with the sexuality. I'll bring up the first one when Wolf and Lady are kind of kissing for the first time, and Rambo is with them, still going like, is Rambo a boy or a girl? I don't know what's happening here. And then they all have this like three-way kiss that happens. Kind of bizarre. I mean, but then I took that as like, here's a bunch of people that haven't had exposure to anything. And if you just let people have their true nature, like whether you're a boy or girl, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. You know, like right. They're just playing around with sex. Like, okay, what's it like to kiss someone? I'll kiss this one. I'll kiss that one. That feels pretty good. Let's just all do that. And so it's just very playful, and there's not a lot of, it just happens. And I think that he was, I think those scenes are a comment on how confused these children are, in a sense, about sexuality and what it means.
Right.
They don't really get it. They don't understand, and they're not being taught to value anything, you know, so they don't, there's no teaching of any sort. It's just, it's like such a free for all. So what I'm getting at is, the scene that happens is when there's the night that they have like an attack, and it's very confusing. Like, suddenly they're being attacked. There's like a bit of a war happening between whoever they're fighting and who they're not. I don't even know what's happening, but it's a beautiful scene. I mean, it's night. Yeah. There's the night goggles. The whole thing is so well done. Visually, I can't even touch this movie. It's so crazy. There's like, right? I mean, can you imagine? It's like,
incredible.
It looks like it took like forever to do stuff like that. Like, how do you even, wide scenes in the night, and there's like flares and gunshots, and it's just unbelievable. But anyway, moving on, you go into this moment where Doctora is with Lady, or it's not Lady, actually. It's,
I don't remember which one it was.
Her name is Swede. Swede is the other girl. So, so she is kind of, you know, obviously with her, and she's got her gun pointed at her, and so, you know, she's just sitting, they're just sitting together, and but then there's this moment where they get hit with some kind of, you know, bomb. Things kind of get blown up down there, wherever they're hiding out in this like bunker. And they kind of like attach to each other because they're scared. So now they're in this embrace of like, you know, just like trying to be scared and be with each other and kind of comfort each other. And it just oddly gets sexual, which was just so, do you remember what I'm talking about? Like,
no, yeah, that threw me as well. That was really, that was a really jarring kind of move.
And let me finish my thought here, but like, I felt like when I got to the end of it, I was, here's my interpretation of it. So in the scene, they're together in this kind of like awkward, not like, you know, this like scared embrace of like, let's not die, you kind of assume. But then very quickly, the young girl is kind of embedded in her neck, of the hostage's neck, and she starts to kind of like kiss her, you get the sense. And then the woman responds to it. And there's a moment where they're kind of like sexually charged a bit, where they're kind of kissing each other, not like on the mouth, but it's like a moment. It happens very quickly.
Yeah.
And then very quickly it's over because the girl pulls away and is kind of laughing at her. Okay. And I took that as it like this kid is just playing around with her, you know, in this very like, it's very mean, actually. It's not nice. You know, it's almost like, are they toying with her?
Yep.
Or is she just, that's just the way this kid acts. Like, she just gets like that, and then she's like, ha ha ha, that was funny. But it's disturbing because of that.
Yeah,
because you're
no,
not
for
sure what's happening. You're like, why did she just do that to her? But that is, to me, such a setup for what happens later. Because this woman does seem compassionate towards these kids in some way. I think she's also very terrified of them. But she also has moments, like, with Rambo, where she's like, Rambo, don't do this, you know, and she can tell that Rambo didn't want to put her in the chains. And there's this moment where Rambo cries about it. And so she can sense that they're children. But when it comes down to it, they're also her captors. So I think to that, you're right. She has that moment. She ends up escaping in the jungle. It does not go well for her. She ends up right back where she started. So by the time that scene happens in the water, I buy it completely. I'm like, there's no sympathy left for these people anymore. She's killing this kid and she's getting the fuck out. Like, there's no, I totally thought that was so well done, but God, that's a very, I'm a very lengthy share on that, but I'll let you talk.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the murder scene was made more powerful by the fact that she clearly had some affection towards this, towards all the kids, but this, the one girl in particular, because she, not only did she offer to like, to help her, but she also, there was that weird sexual tension there, which I didn't really understand. I thought it was a bit odd, but I guess what they were going for was that these characters, like, she was so starved for any kind of affection that she kind of like had a lapse in judgment, I guess. I have no idea, but she did feel something for this girl, and then to murder her and like to drown her. And then not only that, but as she's making her exit, she finds a Smurf tied to a tree. And Smurf, to me, was, of all the kids, the one who had the most good in him. He had the best heart, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And that's why he was tied to a tree and left to die. And he's begging her to help him. And he's clearly not going to hurt her. Like, he's clearly has, the team has turned on him. If she were to help him, she wouldn't face any negative consequences. Right. So she has an opportunity to save this kid and she just refuses.
Yeah, she's had it.
She's done. She's like, I'm done with you. It's all about me now.
Which... And oddly enough, you know what is, like I said, this guy creates these small moments. And in that scene, what blew my mind is he's like, please take me with you. And she's basically no. What she does is say nothing and takes his boots. And then she's trying to put them on and he helps her.
He helps her. And then she's still like, thank you.
Yes.
Bye.
Yeah, he's like, cut the toes off of the boots and you'll be able to wear them. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, these little, there's so little dialogue in this movie, but when it happens, it's so poignant. Like, it's like, oh, it's amazing, really. You're making me love this movie more. but it really is. Go ahead.
You and I talked about this a while ago about the camera work in movies and in film, and how the trend in a lot of big budget movies is a lot of camera movement and a lot of fast cuts and things like that. And this movie moves really slowly. There's a lot of just static shots. It's just really slow. The music, the soundtrack was great, but the music was in the background. And it kind of let the story exist on its own. Like, it gave the story, the characters room to kind of show themselves instead of it being cut after cut after cut and just poof, shoo, shoo, explosions and loud sounds and music. It was just, here's the story. And I thought it was more powerful because of that. And when you get those little moments where he tells her to cut the toes out of the shoes and she does, and then he asks for her help and she just stares at him, that's just, you can't beat that.
No, that, like, it's really,
that's a punch in the gut.
Well, you know, he's really, it's just, you know, when I love when a filmmaker, I don't know, it's like your style. It's like a signature. I feel like this guy is going to continue to make movies that you're going to know it's his movie. You know, it's like, yeah, he definitely had a way of doing that was that this whole thing that was his way. And it's so cool. I mean, it's a really powerful story, I will say. And I do think all those unanswered questions are great. Like, even thinking about that scene that I was just describing, you know, with this weird sexual thing that kind of happens for a split second, you could take it one way, like I did at first, which was like, maybe this girl's just playing around with this woman. Mm-hmm. Or are we not aware of the fact that maybe because there was so much intimacy, like they're bathing her and they're spending a lot of time, they have to take care of her too. I mean, she's their hostage. Maybe there's been sexual things that have happened between the two of them that we don't know about. And maybe that was what that was like a brief moment of that. And then it was like, no, we're not, you know, no, this isn't happening right now. And there's a lot of unsaid stuff, but either way, it just adds to the feeling of chaos that you feel watching it, which is what they're experiencing, you know? Mm-hmm. And one thing I thought was interesting as an overall theme for me, just is the sense that, like, no one's being taken care of, you know? The woman really isn't being taken care of, the hostage. These children are not being taken care of. Their needs are not met at all. Nobody's really going to help them. Whether they wanted to be there or not, there's no escaping what they're in. They're also hostages in a sense of their own situation. And it's interesting that it's called Monos, but I think that means monkeys. Did you look up what the title word means?
I did, and I believe you're correct on that. Like I said, I read about this a while ago. Yes, it says, I found an article that says, it's a group of ragtag teenage gorillas who call themselves monkeys or scamps or monos in Spanish.
Yeah, it means so monkey.
Yeah. You know, I read another article about the meaning of the movie and why it was so vague, and this gave me a whole other appreciation for it. Was the director, the writer and director, said that, you know, he never actually tells you where the movie is set. You don't even know that it's in Colombia unless you do a little bit of research. But it's set in Colombia, and his point was, he was purposely vague because the movie was meant to be kind of a commentary on violence and war in Colombia. And he said it doesn't matter where it is. It was purposely vague because it could be anywhere in Colombia. Like, it doesn't matter. And the fighting, the reason why they're fighting also doesn't matter, because he wants to show, like, the pointlessness of the war on both sides. And he wants to show that, like, there is no right side or wrong side, and everything is kind of morally ambiguous. So when you look at the fighting that's tearing his country apart, everybody loses. And that was his point, was it doesn't matter why they're fighting, because there's no right or wrong side. All I want to commentate on is the actual fighting and the violence that's tearing people apart. And I was like, that's really cool, because that's exactly how you feel watching it. Is like, you don't know what side they're on. Should you root for them? Should you root against them? What are they fighting for? How do they know when they can stop fighting because they've won? Like, what determines victory for them? When do they know when to stop? And they don't. There's no answer for that. It's just going on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And there's another scene towards the end that I want to mention, if you want to get to the end.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay. I mean, so, we're already like, this is a long one. I'm almost open an hour with you already. Okay, go ahead.
So another scene that really really affected me was when, I think it was Rambo, when she leaves the group and goes back home.
Okay. Yes.
She spends this entire movie just, none of these kids have a home.
They're oh, just... wait a second. Wait, you're just blowing my mind right now. Hold on. I got to stop you.
Okay.
Is that home or is that somebody that just found, I thought that they just took her in.
No, that's home.
That's like her family?
Home. Yeah.
Because I thought what happened was, okay, let me just work this with you in my brain. This is so funny that we see this differently. Rambo escapes, which is so funny that her name is Rambo. So she escapes, and then she ends up on this, like, boat, and this guy's, like, scuba diving, or, like, he's diving. So she's on the boat trying to steal shit, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
she's,
yeah.
like,
you know
finding
I think
food.
You're right. I think you're
and
right.
then the person comes up, and they, like, have this interaction, which is very quick, which is, like, the hands come up, and she's like, ah! And then next thing you know, they're in the house with this. I thought that that guy took her in.
I think you're absolutely right.
Okay.
But.
Go ahead.
My point still stands. Like, it still affects me the same way, is that she goes, like, none of these kids have a family, but she goes home to a family who takes her in.
Right. Thank you.
And they show her doing normal family stuff, and you're like, she's out of it. She's going to finally have this normal kid life that she's supposed to have. Or he's supposed to have. I don't know what gender Rambo is.
Well,
in the
actress,
movie.
It is. I looked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look, it's a girl. So it is played by a woman. But I don't know. I think whatever. We'll just say Rambo because we don't know.
Rambo is supposed to have. And then what happens is they don't let Rambo have that life. Like, she can't escape. She wants to escape so badly, and she tries and she does it, but they go back and get her. And they kill the people who are watching over her. And that to me kind of shows how once you're living this life, there it's really difficult to get out of it. She can't escape her past and the things she's done. Like, you're in now. There's no way out. And that really affected me because you kind of got to see what she was missing. Like, she got a chance to see what could have been, but she's never going to get that. And that, to me, was extra sad.
It's so extra sad. And it's exactly
one thing to
that.
Not have that, but to be able to see what you're missing and experience it for just a little bit.
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, and it's such a, and they really, the way that he decided to show you that was such an extreme flip. You know, here are these kind of like wild kids, you know, militant, you know, whatever, some type of militia that have not had any, it doesn't seem like they've had much of a parental experience, like where they've been taken care of by somebody.
Yeah, no one has shown them any affection.
Yeah, in any kind way. And so now this Rambo ends up with this family, and it's such a family. It's like, you know, the father, I mean, what really blew, like the most emotional part of that scene for me was when they all are kind of watching TV.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, and then he carries those two little girls to bed on his shoulders. And it's just like so symbolic. You know, here's like this father who you can tell is just such a great, like whatever the dynamic is, you can get the sense. I mean, he finds someone on that's stealing stuff from his boat. From his situation, and he brings the kid home, and now he's carrying these little girls to bed, and it's just such the typical image you have of a family. It's like very storybook, you know. It's like here they are, and you're right, this kid does not get to have that. And then not only that, but by the way, like Rambo ends up, you know, on this wild goose chase, like not chase, but like they're in the rapids, and I mean that scene, which looks so dangerous, by the way, to shoot. I'm like, are these people okay? And then second of all, you've got these long, which really struck me, and it was beautiful. And also, like, it made you feel so, it was such an intense thing just to be with the underwater shot of that water, just kind of the long take of that. Like, the water's just bubbling, and the rocks are floating around, and it's just the underwater scene of just water. It's like chaos. And
I love that. I loved it.
Wasn't it amazing? And then you end with this, you know, this helicopter picking Rambo up that you don't know if she's dead or alive, and he or she. And then it ends on this scene where I mean, what an insane ending.
I know.
Just, go ahead. It was just so crazy.
It was just like, again, with the, when I read about the theme and what the point he was trying to make about war, it's like, you look at Rambo finally finds this family and is taken in, and then these kids come back and kill the family, and you're just like, why? Like, was your goal really worth that? Like, that's so pointless. And that's the message for war. Like, why are you fighting? Is it worth your goal? Are doing these things worth your goal? Like, did this family have to die? And, you know, they didn't. But it's not fair. Like, the violence it's not fair. It's not logical. It just is. And I think that was a powerful, like, it would be easier to take sides if you would say, well, they're a guerrilla group fighting for their freedom, or they're fighting for this, or they're fighting for whatever. It will be easier to take sides and say who's right and who's wrong. But if you don't know what's happening, you're just witnessing the violence with all context removed. And when it's removed, you're like, oh, I don't like this at all. This is right. Just all bad. And also, to touch on something that you mentioned, I appreciated how, like, the long shots with the underwater and all of that, it really, they didn't use any tricks in this movie to make you feel a certain way. It was all story and all character and all, like, just plot. There weren't any camera tricks. There weren't any fancy special effects. It was just all story. And yeah. It was a good story.
No, and it's funny because I was, and that ending specifically where, you know, you're on the helicopter and that last line, which really brought it home for me, which I think was like, if you're going to end it perfectly, where Rambo's just listening to this, you know, walkie talkie chat, basically, which is like, mm-hmm. we have an unidentified person here. I'm not saying this exactly right, but like,
yeah,
basically, like, we have it. What do we do with this unidentified person? Like, what should we do with this? And it, to me, was this theme of like, they're not really people. These kids don't get to be people. They don't get to have real lives, and they don't get to be seen as individuals. And really, in the end, they're, whether it's the organization or whether it's the mountain or whether it's the jungle or the others within the group, like, they're all disposable and there's no escaping it, you know? And to me, that's what that felt like. It was like this, there's no break for Rambo. Like, whether she dies from the rapids on the side of the, whatever, just if she ends up dead through circumstance or through, you know, intentional killing, her place is never going to be her own. And she's right. A lost child. Like, they're all lost children.
Yep.
Who are all fending for themselves, and no one, it's just sad, but it's also such a comment. And I'm going to bring this up, and maybe this would have been an interesting comparison. But I was reading a review right before I talked to you. Mm-hmm. And they're comparing this a lot to Apocalypse Now,
yeah,
which is also a similar idea, which is there's no sense mm-hmm. that the idea of war and what happens in situations of war is that there is no sense. And so that movie was such a journey about the chaos of war and the insanity of it and like the toll it takes on humans in general, like right. individually. And so I think it's a pretty good comparison. And they also bring up Lord of the Flies, which I mentioned. So there's a lot of things that this person might have pulled from, you know, when they thought of this story and like how they were going to show what they're maybe saying is a comment on Colombia and the war, you know, the war and the experiences there, which I know nothing about. But
it reminds yeah. me of the I watched a documentary on the war in Vietnam, and there was someone I can't remember which side he was from, but he had fought in the war, and he said that he said the only people who ask which side won the war, the North Vietnam, like the North or the South, are the people who didn't experience the war. Because anyone who experienced it realizes nobody won. Everybody lost.
Yeah.
And he just goes on to say that, like, there's no winners in war. There's just losers. And you made me think of something with the last line in the movie, is that we have an unidentified. What do we do with them? They never tell you what they're going to do with Rambo. And it's kind of a question to the viewer, like, I can ask you, what do you think should be done with Rambo? On the one hand, you have sympathy for this child, but also this child has committed some awful acts. But also, this child didn't have complete control over their own life. So what do you do with Rambo?
I don't know. And they don't, you know what I love? Like yeah. I said, I think the movie is an experiment in what is. And what the experience is, and not trying to be to any point. It's not mm-hmm. like there's an end. There's no like finale to this story. Yep. We never find out what happens to Doctora. We see her leave, but she could have easily died in the jungle. I mean, you saw her first attempt at escape. I don't know how she even made it as far as she did. I mean, how do you survive a situation like that where you've no idea where you're going? It's obviously a very thick and like large landscape. You could just literally die after a few days without food and water. So I don't understand that. Which really they kind of, I think they brought that home, man, in that scene where she first attempts, like,
yeah,
her struggle to just make it as far as she did within that short amount of time looked torturous. And I, you know,
I appreciate they showed her trying though, because in that situation, all of us would have said the same thing. The first chance you get, you better run. And they showed her doing that. And I thought that was really cool.
Which was interesting that she did it again, because it just shows you, like, I had that thought after she got caught, that, like, after that experience, would she just give up? Because she, you know, for me, I would go through those thoughts of, like, this is pretty torturous, but, like, these kids are right. Like, I could easily die out there, and at least somebody is taking care of me, or at least knows I'm alive. I mean, her chances of survival are actually better for her not to leave that situation, which is probably why they felt safe being a little loose with her. Maybe they thought, you know, first they're children and they're not paying attention on some level, because they just, it's that mentality of like, well, we've had her. It's almost like they're their own family at this point. You know, they've got her, they've got each other. They're always alone together. She's been with them long enough that they just didn't think she would leave. It's, they're very naive about that they just could, like, I know that Smurf was supposed to be watching her, but like, it's this looseness that was happening between them, where they kind of trusted that she would just be there and not try to escape. And, but if I were her, I have to be honest, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would try to do that again. I'll be like, that scene with the bugs alone, forget about it. I was like, all right, that's enough for me. Take me back to the fort.
When she's stuck in the rain.
Oh God, it's horrific. It's like so bad.
It's terrible.
And listen, I don't camp. I haven't really camped, and I always think I want to go camping. But now I'm like, maybe I don't. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I can do glamping though, or if you just buy a cabin with like,
right, or like a really nice or an Airstream. Yeah, I'm down with some Airstream camping. Put me in a mini hotel in the back
basically
of my truck.
I just want a house in the woods. Like, I don't want a tent. Just put a house somewhere that's nice.
Right, with air conditioning and a maid. Yes,
exactly.
And someone to bring you meals at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I tell you, it doesn't... Any of the situations these people were living in is just, like, horrendous.
Right.
Even if they're a bunch of young people having a good time in sort of odd ways.
Well,
I don't know.
Thing...
What else do you have to say about this movie, Tyrese? I feel like we should maybe bring it to an end here.
I agree. There's one thing I want to mention. Just one last thing that we forgot to mention about the movie. And I don't really have any deep insight into it. It just really caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When Bigfoot kills the guy, his name is the Messenger, is the
Oh,
guy.
Yes.
I thought when they ratted out Bigfoot and he took him to go speak to the other people or whatever, I thought for sure he was going to kill Bigfoot. He took him away to kill him. And the whole thing of him taking him to see the other people was a lie. He's going to take him out in the middle of nowhere, shoot him, and just that was it. And when he kills the Messenger instead, I was like, I did not see that coming.
Wow.
That caught me by complete surprise.
Right?
Yeah. So that's all. That was the only other thing that I wanted to mention.
All right. So me and Therese had a little bit of a technical issue. I unfortunately... using this new format that I was trying today with him for my listeners, I wasn't on my microphone. So now you can hear me from my microphone and it sounds probably very different. sadly. But anyway, hopefully you guys can forgive the audio on my part. Tyrese is going to sound amazing and I'm going to sound like I had AirPods in.
I'm going to sound okay.
You're going to sound, you sound amazing.
Thank you. You sound amazing
but
too.
But listen, you know, for everybody that's been with me through this whole thing, even on my solo chats, I've done some solo podcasting. You know, check out this movie. It's a really great movie. Tyrese, thank you so much for...
No problem.
For, like, bringing it to my attention. And we'll have to do this again. Hopefully we can do this in person. Maybe I can
absolutely
meet you out on your porch. I had this joke with my friend Tom on my other podcast that I do. The millions of podcasts that we do now. That we should like just set up a table on the side of the street and just do like an outdoor podcast and just be like, just to confuse people, like, what are you guys doing? Like, well, we're podcasting. Come sit down. Like, you know, just for fun.
That would be really funny. Let's go to Cape Hill Open.
Yeah. Or my other
tables 30 feet apart.
That's what I'm saying. Or like even my brilliant idea of doing like a van that you just take around the world and coffee and van and podcasting and just
oh,
like,
hey, whoa, you better be quiet because you don't want someone to steal that idea. That is a really good idea. That is a really, really
right?
good idea.
Let's hit the country, man. Let's just get a freaking Airstream and, you know, go. Just get
I
people
love that.
Into the Airstream and just take it on the road. I'm not even kidding. Like, I bet you if you had, like, a YouTube channel and you just decided to go podcast across the country, like, with random people.
Just go into coffee shops and just talk to people.
Just, like, pull people out of anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Walking out of a grocery store and be like, hey, you want to come into the podcast van? They probably think we were, like, stalkers and kidnappers.
That's true.
But I don't think I look that scary, so it might work.
We can't get a windowless panel van because we just can't do those.
No. You can't have curtains. Curtains are a bad sign.
Yes.
It's definitely a bad sign if there's curtains. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us and putting up with my audio issues, and next week hopefully I will do this correctly. So thanks everybody, and thank you Tyrese, and
thank you for having me again,
dude. Always, anytime. Let's please do this in person soon. I can't stand
yes.
it anymore.
I agree.
And maybe we'll get to go to the movies, although I didn't even get into that conversation, but apparently they're opening the theater on June 1st.
Oh, that's scary.
And I'm so confused about how they're doing that.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue how that's going to happen and what it's going to look like, but my curiosity is piqued for sure. Well, listen, thank you again. And I'm going to say goodbye and just join us next time. I will preempt. I think I'm just going to like plug a little bit for the next episode because I have a really
All
interesting
right.
idea. Maybe I'll mention this to you before I go. So I don't know if you know Tyrese, but I'm a big fan of Marc Maron, the WTF mm-hmm. podcast. And I know that he was with Lynn Shelton, who just passed away. Very suddenly, she's a film director, really interesting person. I don't know a lot of her films. I've seen one or two of them, but I think she's awesome. And I think what I might do is do one of her recent movies. I'm thinking about doing Sword of Trust just because I haven't seen it. And just to kind of honor female directors and give a nod to just her. I mean, I felt so emotional listening to his podcast this past week. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but it's a really emotional share that he did on his show, and it really brought my attention to her work. And I just think it might be fun to just do a little podcast about maybe one of her movies and talk about her.
Yeah.
And just about female directors and movies in general. So I may do that next week, so get prepared for that, and check out some of her movies if you can, because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? All right, well, Tyrese, I'll see you next time. Have a great day.
All right, you have a great day as well. Thank you for having me again.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.